Last week and this week, I'm very passionate about in Matthew chapter 6 as we look at the model prayer and what it means to hallow God's name and to pray thy kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm sure you're probably there by now, hopefully. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount for 17 weeks now. Matthew chapter 6, let's start in verse 9, says, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The six P's to the model prayer. Number one, we looked at praise last week of what it means to hallow God's name and why we do it. What is important about hallowing his name? I believe it is a supernatural embattlement, a prayer of warfare against the stronghold of the enemy. As we are magnifying and making God's name great, we are declaring, we're asking God, reveal yourself to all of man. And this is attacking the enemy's stronghold, declaring his name, making him hallowed. As we praise him, we're attacking the enemy. That's encouraging to me. For those that may not love 6 hours of worship on Sunday mornings before you hear a six-hour message, know this, that as you praise, the enemy's fleeing. That'll hopefully change your heart and attitude of why we worship God. Part of it, yes, is attacking the enemy. Number two, this morning we'll get into the proclamation. We're proclaiming his kingdom come, his will be done. That's what we are going to look at this morning. So what do we know about God's kingdom? What do we know about his kingdom? Well, it is alternatively described in the New Testament as the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of his beloved Son, the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I've had you turn here about a year and a half ago. I preached a message on advancing the kingdom, claiming and conquering the mountains and the giants with Caleb. And so there will be some overlap. If you have a really astounding memory, you might remember that we went to Colossians chapter 1 about 18 months ago. If that is new to you, then underline this verse. And I got to get there, not to Corinthians. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13, says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us. Thank you, Curtis. Curtis is excited. To the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. God transferred us out of the domain of darkness, from under the control of the enemy, the devil, the liar, the thief, the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the kingdom that we were in without Jesus Christ. It says God reached his hand down through his Son in the blood of Jesus Christ, and he transferred us out of it into his Son's kingdom. Now, we know from other scriptures that we are joint heirs with Christ. So everything that Jesus gets to receive through his finished work of the cross, we as joint heirs get to receive. We're transferred. And Jesus, not that we elevate ourselves to the same place as Jesus, but we get to be partakers in his kingdom. Everything that he conquered on those 3 days, death, hell, the grave, we get to be partakers of and joint heirs in Christ. So if we've been rescued out of the domain of darkness and God's kingdom is among us, why do we pray it come? Luke chapter 1 verse 33 says his kingdom is without end. Luke 17:21 says his kingdom is already among us or already in your midst. So why? Why would we want to pray this? If it's eternal and it's without end, and if it's already among us and in our midst, why do we pray the kingdom of God would come? Well, we don't pray that it would come into existence because it is already here, but we are praying that it would come more completely, that his kingdom would be revealed in a perfect understanding, in a perfect way, not just to the believers, those that are in Christ, but also to the world. Now, this prayer, I alluded to this last week, as you're going through these next, I guess, 4 more weeks after this, probably 6 weeks in the model prayer, I hope you are beginning to understand that this isn't just a prayer of what things we can pray for, what things can we ask before God, but Jesus is modeling a supernatural, a spiritual warfare type prayer. Okay? So I believe, and hopefully as we look through this, it will become evident in Matthew chapter 6, that each one of these phrases in what you know as the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer is really a spiritual warfare line, okay? So thy kingdom come. We're asking that God's kingdom would be enlarged. May it be perfected here on earth. Now this word kingdom can also be translated reign. So thy reign come. When God reigns on earth, is cancer allowed? Is cancer an option? Is suicide an option? Is death an option? When God Almighty reigns on earth as he reigns in heaven, is sickness and disease an option? So this prayer that we've been making for who knows how many years, you fill in the blank, 10, 20, 30, 60, 70, anyone older than that? Yes, I know you are. We won't pick on you. Are you praying it out of repetition? Because keep in mind, that's what Jesus just addressed before he modeled the prayer. He said, do not pray in vain. Don't just use these big words just to be noticed of men. He's saying, mean what you pray. You can make it concise. You can make it short. Thy kingdom come. Because Jesus packed a punch in these words. He says, thy kingdom come means a whole lot more than some using lots of big words and standing up here before God and you're expressing all your goodness, but you don't mean it down in your heart. He says, thy kingdom come, period. God, we want your kingdom to reign. We want your reign to come here on this earth. So we are asking, not just declaring, that God would reign here on the earth. Now Jesus said during the Last Supper, from now on I will not drink of this cup until when? Until the kingdom of God comes. In other words, the coming of the kingdom of God is not only a present spiritual experience, but is also a future historical event. Yes, there is a future part of this, of praying thy kingdom come. During the latter half of the 20th century, the last real big movement, we were starting to receive revival in this country, last 50 years or so. A lot of pastors, theologians, scholars were coming to a consensus and beginning to understand, as the Holy Spirit was revealing this scripture, that his teaching on the kingdom of God has both a present aspect and which is known as the realized kingdom, and it has a future aspect, which they call the eschatological, which is really the end times. So the kingdom of God is here in our midst, as scripture says, and yes, the kingdom of God is coming as he returns to establish his perfect kingdom. And it wasn't something that we just knew, and we can kind of quote that quickly and loosely, but we began to understand that in this prayer, it has a double meaning. Jesus was saying, pray and look forward to the future of my return. Yes, pray that my kingdom come, but also do not neglect, pray, advance my kingdom. And so we begin to get a taste of what exactly God wanted us to do here on this earth. We can quote the Great Commission, go into all the world. Yes. But is that all we're supposed to do? We're just supposed to go and tell them about God? Yes, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's part of our commission. But I believe we must not neglect advancing his kingdom. He has an assignment for us as believers here on this earth. And so if you've been caught up praying for only half of this, I believe you've been missing out. If you've been praying for, if you only pray for the present kingdom, then I believe you're missing out on the future benefits that we look forward to in his kingdom that would come perfectly. And if you only pray for his future kingdom, I believe that you've been missing out on present supernatural realities. Because in this verse, thy kingdom come, There is so much to unlock up there. If we could only understand what it means that God's perfect kingdom would come and visit us here on this earth, we would begin to live differently here on this earth. Do we want the kingdom of heaven to visit this church in Blacksburg and New River Valley? Do we believe it's possible? Because it is. So it is for this reason that we not only pray for the future triumph of God, but also each and every day to be under the sovereign control of Him now. So what does praying the kingdom entail? Desiring and praying for His kingdom in all its fullness is to recognize His purposes, His overall plans, His desire, His will, and to be under, to be in His will, to be in His immediate plan for our life, and to realize that these things, His desire, His will, is the highest, it's the highest priority of God. I believe that we need to get back, and we'll just take a quick minute and look back at what was life like before sin entered the world. What was the original plan for mankind? What was God's original will for them? Was it sin and death? Sin and death is, it's just a thing, but eventually I'm going to be able to spend time with them. No. God's perfect plan, when He created the earth and He said it was good, it was before sin entered the world. God looked down and He said, I can commune with man. I can walk with them in the very garden, and it is very good. God's original plan and will was for us to walk with Him. That's the pinnacle of the perfected state, to walk with God, to see Him face to face, to speak with God face to face, to dwell with Him. And see, sin corrupted that and made it impossible because we as humans are all with sin and we cannot look at God without dying. Now we are accepted by the blood of Jesus that washes us as white as snow. Thank you for His blood. But this is what we look forward to, is that perfection, that perfected state when we can look and walk and commune and talk with God the Father. That's what He desired. That's what the whole entire purpose of man was, that man could be with me and worship and get to know me as I want to get to know them. We are asking that His kingdom be loosed on earth. See, God's eternal kingdom in its fullness. Not sure if you realize this, but Scripture, you can write these down. We're not going to go there this morning. Ezekiel 37, 27 through 28. God's eternal kingdom brings the dwelling place of God to be with man. Revelation 21, 3 through 5 and verse 22. I'll say it again. God's eternal kingdom in its perfection, in all of its fullness, brings the dwelling place of God. So as His kingdom comes, He may dwell with us. This is what we look forward to. These are prophecies of God establishing His kingdom, is that there will be a day, when He comes in glory and majesty because His kingdom is advanced in perfection and fullness, the culmination of everything that is to come. We look forward to that day that God may once again dwell with man. This is what we look forward to. Do you share this longing that God's kingdom might come and be where we live? I do. That the Lord might touch lives by His Holy Spirit in and through the local church, in and through Tridestone. See, wherever God's kingdom or rule or reign is found, there will be totally changed lives. And if you could only see God's face and behold His glory, I know that you would be transformed. And so as we're praying God's kingdom come. God, may you reveal yourself. May you come down and visit this place, because I know that nobody can stand in your presence, and they have either two options. They're either going to die because they're with sin and they can't confess it, or they're going to be totally transformed, because nobody can be in the presence of God without being radically transformed. God, may your presence, this is the desire that I have for this church. May the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit come and reside in this place. Not that it's contained in the four walls, but may the Holy Spirit be so on this place and on this building and over everything that we as a church do, that as people from the community walk through those doors, they are radically knocked out by the presence of God the Father, and they say, God, I need you. I need you, God. I can't do it anymore on my own. That's what we as a church ought to long for. Pray, thy kingdom come. Don't make me preach this morning. In other words, when we pray that the Lord's kingdom come, in essence, we are praying Habakkuk or Habakkuk 2:14, that the earth may be filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters are of the sea. Lord, may you reveal yourself in such a way that you completely cover it with the water as in Noah's days. Nobody can escape the flood of the glory of God. What if that was a symbolic thing? He said, I'm never again going to wipe out mankind this way. But he used the flood as a symbolic example of the Holy Spirit totally encompassing the earth. Is that there will be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you cannot escape the presence and the glory of God the Father. You either run to the ark, Jesus Christ, and be saved, or you're going to be encompassed and swallowed in the glory. One way or the other, you're going to get there. You're going to get to experience God's presence. And thank God that I have Jesus Christ living inside of me, that I don't have to shake in my boots when I get to meet God. Now, wherever God's kingdom or rule is found, there's totally changed lives, as we said. We need to pray that God's kingdom would come in our land. Pray for spiritual revival. Pray that we may turn again to Him. Pray that God would revive His church and to raise up those that are asleep, that are dead, and that we may teach what Jesus taught. That we may raise up the next generation of disciples and apostles. Pray that across our nation that He will give people a desire and a longing for just righteousness, hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they would just not be content with what they know about God or what they think they know about God, but may they long for the deep things of God. Say, God, I want to know more of you. I'm not just content worshiping you a little bit on Sunday morning and hearing a quick message, but God, I want all of you. This is what we ought to be praying for, longing for this peace that God's kingdom alone can bring. We set up kingdoms. Isn't it weird that in order to keep peace, we must go to war? That's not God's plan. He said, I have a plan. I am peace. Let me show you another way to bring peace, my son Jesus Christ. We pray that His kingdom of grace may come quickly and swallow up the kingdoms of earth. We pray that it may come in fullness and that all the created beings may bring their wills into the harmony of God, with harmony with God's will. We pray that our wills would line up with God's, that what we desire would be God's will. Let me say this another way. If you are truly interested in the kingdom, in God's kingdom reigning here on earth, I believe we will live to build that kingdom by doing the will of God in our lives. If you truly are interested in the kingdom of God reigning in Blacksburg, then you will first start by being obedient in seeing the will of God done in your own life. This is another reason we know that there is still more present kingdom to be released, because the very next phrase in this verse, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, alludes to the fact that the perfected state is not here. There's still the will of God that needs to be done here on this earth. You get that? So we ought to pray, bring us, Lord, the perfected kingdom. Bring us into your will. Let's complete this thought. God answers our prayers that are in harmony with his will. We must understand that first and foremost. You cannot just pray and ask anything of God, and if it does not line up with him, he is not obligated to answer it. You must pray in line with God's will. So we must have an understanding of what God's will is in order for us to even be able to pray. What's his will? That his name would be hallowed. What's his will? That his kingdom would come. What's his will? On earth as it is in heaven. That was four. Should have been three. I did that a while ago too. Pray the will of God, that he can answer to it, that he can respond to it. See, if we as humans do not desire everything that God wants here on earth the way he wants it, then I don't believe you're ready for heaven. If there's a piece of you that's like, okay, I understand what pastor's saying, but I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not ready to give up this sin, or I just got to get married first, or I just got to finish school first, or I'm just, you know what, I believe in total surrender to God, but you know what, in a later date. Okay, if that's you, then I'm not sure you're ready for eternity, because when you get to heaven, you don't get to bargain with God. You really put that pillar in the wrong spot. Everything in heaven is perfect. And our desire must be that the perfect state of heaven would come to the earth. So we must totally surrender to God. God, may you reveal yourself perfectly to us. May we totally get out of the way. The new heavens and the new earth are the home of righteousness. Everything. If you don't believe me, you can look at the scripture. 2 Peter 1:13. It's perfect. Heaven is perfect. Revelation 22 verse 3. So in praying that his will be done, we are declaring that we are ready for heaven. God, I'm ready to go. Thy will be done. God, I'm ready for you to take me right now. I know that I still have a job to do here on this earth. I know that you've commissioned us, that you've given me an assignment. But God, in case you come back, I'm ready. Take me with you. I don't have any sort of sentimental attachment to this earth. God, I'm ready. I'd rather be with you. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. But God, I know that I still have things to do here. So we're declaring that we're ready for heaven, but at the same time, we're acknowledging that there is still more kingdom to bring. Lord, your will be done here on this earth. See, we must learn by the Spirit to pray according to God's will. We must learn to rejoice in what God is doing in his kingdom, whether or not we understand it. How many of us know that there are trials and persecutions that will come because we are advancing the kingdom of God in Jesus' name? Because they hated him first. Not everything's hunky-dory. This is what we see in Jesus as he's praying in the garden before his crucifixion. Lord, is it possible that I don't have to go through this gruesome death? But even so, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. I think that the church has mistaken a lot of this, and we've associated God's will in places in prayer where it ought not be. Lord, if it be your will, heal this person. You know what? I'm sick and tired of these half-faith prayers. It's God's will to heal that person, period. We got to stop coming forward for prayer, and we got to start coming forward for healing. There's too many people that I've been prayed for 15, 200 times, whatever it is, 2,000 times. And I haven't seen the healing manifest in my body yet. So you bring this baggage up to the front and you're like, you have this doubt in the back of your mind because you've been prayed for 10, 20, 200, 2,000 times. And you've got the person praying over you has to get through all that baggage first. Stop coming up for prayer and just declare that I am healed and come forward to receive that prayer that God has already made manifest. Is it finished, the finished work of God or not? So as we pray, your will be done, we need to pause and think about our own lives. What is the full meaning of this statement? Are we really okay with this mystery of God that his will would be completely done here on this earth? Are we comfortable with actually meaning that? Or are we just quoting it because it's a cool prayer in Matthew 6? See, the difficulty in this prayer is that it puts us in a mystery which is difficult to resolve. There's a paradox in this prayer. It assumes that even the will of God is in part fulfilled by our praying it. Yes, that his will ultimately happen whether you pray or not. But he tells us to pray it, and in praying, thy will be done, it is fulfilling his prayer. This is the paradox. God's will, let me tell you something, he doesn't need your prayer to bring out his kingdom. But he also says, your prayer will bring my kingdom. That's the paradox. So we must, with perseverance, pray God's kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Regardless of what we understand in our human mind. God commands it, we must do it. So we suppose when we daily pray, may your will be done, that we mean something like this. Here I am, Lord, dispose of me as you will. I surrender to you. Take my life and let it be. And this in general is good and maybe beneficial. It's a good way to start your day perhaps. But I believe that it might be befitting to put it to the test and question under a level of scrutiny more closely than Christians normally do. Oftentimes, we as Christians, this is barely more than the acceptance of the inevitable. God, may your will be done. God, let's just go ahead and bring about what you've already planned because I have no control over it anyway. You're totally sovereign, so just hurry up, God. If I'm going to die today, make it quick. But I can assure you, as this came from the lips of the Son of Man, this is not what he intended. This is not what it was. We pray that the will of God may be done because we believe his will is perfect. God, may your will be accomplished on earth because there is no hesitation in me that you are a good God and that you want to see your kingdom perfectly advance on earth while I'm here. We should be asking, Father, what would you have me do for your kingdom? Would you want that person healed? Just go up and heal them. Do we know it's his will for that person to be healed? Do we know that it's God's will for every man to be saved and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Then just go do it. God, would you want me to show the love of Jesus Christ to that person? Just go do it. Would you want me to tell that person about your son? See, this prayer is a prayer that God would continue to transform this world into a place where everyone obeys him perfectly and joyfully. That's what it is. Thy will be done. God, may everyone surrender to you and obey you perfectly. Now, just want to continue down this rabbit trail a little bit longer. What is God's will? Death? Then may his will be done. Pain? May his will be done. Sin? May his will be done. Sickness? May his will be done. Depression? May his will be done. Is cancer in God's will? Then may his will be done. Why do we see these things here on this earth? We don't have time for that this morning. But I can tell you that every time you come across something that is not of God, sickness, pain, cancer, depression, anxiety, fear, all of these things, the list goes on and on and on, it is not of God. And he wants to bring his will in line in that person's life. He says, I want you to not experience cancer, I want you to experience healing. I don't want you to experience depression, I want you to experience joy. I don't want you to experience fear, I want you to experience peace. And so when we come into line and we start noticing the kingdom, the domain of darkness of Satan, these things that do not line up in God's will, we are to rebuke them in Jesus' name and bring his will into reality. Cancer must flee and bow at the name of Jesus. Sickness, disease, pain must bow and flee at the name of Jesus. But I think the problem is we don't fully believe that. I think for some of us here in this room, and even myself at times, we're not totally sure that the work of the cross was finished. It's that, God, if I go and pray for this person with a cast on their leg, that I believe that it's your will, maybe. Maybe we've come to that maturity. But there's this fear that, well, Satan still has a little bit of power over him. Or I have to have the godly number of people, or maybe there has to be two or three of us laying hands on them, and then we'll see them healed. But you know what? Jesus says, I've got the keys, and he transferred them. And he said, if they are healed in my name, then you go bring that healing to them. Tell them about me. And I think we're afraid of the enemy when we ought not to be. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, the Greek of the Lord's Prayer, you must understand that when the New Testament was written all in capital letters. Okay, they didn't have a lowercase alphabet. There were no spaces. There were no punctuation. So if you can go to the next slide, Annette. This is something just to give you an idea of what it would look like. Okay? It's legible. It takes a little practice to get used to it, but you know what it's saying. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so as the translators were working on this verse, we've got a couple different disagreements on punctuation, and really it matters not. But in my Bible, it says, your kingdom come, period, your will be done, comma, on earth as it is in heaven. My three favorite translations all have disagreements on how the punctuation goes in this. And I say all that just to give you a little teaching, about Greek, a Greek lesson, but to know this. What is on earth as it is in heaven applying to? Many believe, and I don't think this is wrong at all, this is applying to all three statements. Hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe that's biblical and certainly theologically sound. But I want to focus in, especially on this last phrase, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that's what particularly this clause is modifying. Again, it's not without application to all three of these petitions. So just imagine heaven for a moment. I want you to get a good picture of heaven. Some of you can see it. And I can see that some of you are more ready. Who's ready for heaven? God's law reigns supreme. It's perfect. He's holy. He's infinite. He's eternal. There's no variableness or shadow of turning. And here he says in Scripture that all wills on earth should be what is willed in heaven. It should be brought into the same conformity with the divine will. What God wills on heaven should be brought here to the earth, on earth as is in heaven. Now, this may mean that God's will be done in a moral sphere as in the natural. Exactly, always, perfectly, in everywhere. May his divine will be recognized perfectly as in heaven here on the earth. See, we are praying that the earth would be filled only with people who know what the will of God is. This is the spiritual battle element. That those that do not know what the will of God is in their life would come to recognize it. We were praying that those that fill the earth would recognize what the will of God is as the angels recognize the will of God in heaven. How much mutiny do you think the angels get away with in heaven? Zero's the answer. Zero mutiny. God gives an order to Michael, guess what? He's dispatched and goes. How much hesitation do we as humans do? But the problem is that we don't understand the goodness of God and what the will of God is. Because if we fully believed that God the Father is backing every word on these pages, we would not hesitate to go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, and cleanse the lepers here in Blacksburg. But there's still pieces of our human nature, our flesh, that say, this is really good, God, but I don't know if I'm ready to live that radically. Just as the angels do it in heaven, that's how he wants us to do it here on earth. Now, how does this change things? Well, as it is in heaven is the standard by which God wants us to bring his will, to bring his kingdom, and to hallow his name. It sets forth a perfect standard for us, yet it cannot be any lower than this. How do they live in heaven? Their wills are perfectly in line with his divine will. What is free to operate in heaven? Joy, peace, love, health, wisdom, wholeness, many more promises. That's free to operate in heaven. What you read about the character of God is free to operate in heaven. And that's what he's saying must operate here on the earth. And anything that is not free to operate in heaven must also not operate here on the earth. Joy is not allowed. Joy must be allowed, but anxiety and fear and depression and cancer must not be allowed to operate here on the earth. Bring earth's reality in line with God's divine intention. Bring his kingdom here. Sickness, disease, bondage, sin. They should not be free to operate here. We are here to destroy the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8. Jesus said, as he sent me, I send you. But it also says in 1 John 3:8 that he came to destroy the works of the devil. So we are here partly to destroy the works of the enemy. I don't know if you realize that commission on your life, but it changes a lot of things. Because you don't just, but it's my will. But it's my will. Don't I get to make it? We have free will, right? Sort of. Yes, you have free will, but it's not your own. You are here to serve God. And so the will of God is simply this, on earth as it is in heaven. This is refreshing when you can get this down into your soul. When we start to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, we're praying that God's kingdom and will would be realized right here, right now in Blacksburg. It is life-changing. It is transforming. It's earth-shattering. It's a different way to do normal Christianity, that everything we must do on this earth must line up with God's will in heaven. It's an awesome way to live.